Hey, listener, and welcome to the Millennial Dad, where I, Adrian Trotter, CEO of Trotter Media, go into the fun and fear of raising children in 2018. I am excited for this episode, and it is going to be non-explicit. Well, let's get us started. Hello, listener. Thank you so much for tuning in. You've noticed that there's a gap between some episodes here, and last episode talked about going in to have the delivery of my son. Well, he is here, looking cuter than ever. Little Abner Seymour Trotter, laying here in my arms as I'm rocking in this rocking chair in the living room. It's just a phenomenal experience. So this episode, I'm going to really talk about that, the whole day of Avner's birth a little bit. So we leave on Sunday, Monday the 12th. And if I do pause this episode, it might be in little segments because he's sleeping right now. But he's due for a wake up and some food. But anyways, my wife and I wake up the morning of the 12th. We get Lily. We have her with us because it's spring break. And we are on our way to Jacksonville really early. Our appointment to get there is at 12, the check-in time. And we're supposed to be, she's supposed to be induced that day. Well, you know, my wife being the lovely foodie Italian that she is. Not saying that McDonald's is food, but, you know, when she says she's hungry, I say, where are we going? So she craved a McDonald's McMuffin and some orange juice. And, you know, I get Lily a little something, like pancakes, her favorite. It's really the thing she loves, McDonald's breakfast pancakes. Some syrup, and we are off. Well, this hospital, unbeknownst to the party of almost four that we're driving with my pregnant wife, an hour and 20 minutes to St. Vincent Southside in Jacksonville, we were supposed to fast. She couldn't go into, they were actually going to turn us away and have us go home. Called my wife. Called my mom, my wife was a little bit upset, you know, thinking we would have to go all the way back home and chill. Her mom and her sister were on the way already. So we, bless my mom's heart, she gets us in, but we can't start the procedure till 6. So, the procedure to induce is, you know, a bit long. You know, my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law and my cousin, or no, my nephew, excuse me, Xavion. Sorry, it's been a long day. Not long, but, you know, I have a little newborn here. They get there and they realize, you know, we're not going to be able to start till 6. So they go and take Lily and see a movie, and then come back. They set the text if anything changes. And, you know, my wife and I are chilling. And really, this is a great experience because if you have the hustle and bustle of the day, you know, you're doing your work or you're playing video games or you're talking and reading, you don't really get to spend that much time with your loved one, the one that and that's one advice that I would say for this podcast is, not that I'm here to give a crap ton of advice, but I am here to say spend some time with your loved ones while you can. And moments like this, while she's laid up in a hospital bed, back hurting like crazy, has this little human growing inside of her. She's in pain, and I'm here as her husband to be there with her the whole step, every single step of the way. I haven't missed one single baby's appointment at all. So this was a great time to sit with her. And I literally think I turned on the MacBook once, maybe, checked an email or something. Actually, I think I even turned it on later on after Avner was born for her to watch Netflix or something, you know? I didn't really use that thing. So, anyways, little baby Avner sleeping or waking, we'll see. So she's laying there, really getting the process started at around 6 o'clock. There happened, unfortunately, the sad thing was around, like right behind our hospital, someone had taken their own life, and there's helicopter swarming. So the entire time we're there, we hear helicopters, and I guess the SWAT team and the sheriff's department was out. But I didn't really hear it that much. My mother-in-law did, but I didn't really hear it as much because I'm focused on the pains and groans of my wife. You know, all this pain she's going through, and then I think it was around, you know, I kind of it wasn't that I was. Don't get me wrong, I wasn't praying that he was born earlier or anything. He came right when his little baby butt was supposed to. But listener, I gotta tell you something. I gotta tell you something that's kind of eerie, or not eerie, but coincidental. Really gotta tell you. My wife, she's born 8/19/1988. One day, 1 month, 1 year, as if you were listening to these podcasts. And she was born the exact same day as my mother was born. Now, Liliana, her birthday is 3/23/2011. And her birthday is the exact same as my brother Paul. Now, Abner. I'm going to fast forward in this story and say, you tell you guys he was born March 13, 7:08 a.m. 7 pounds, 6 ounces, 20 inches. Avner shares the same exact birthday as my dad. How awesome is that? His name in Hebrew means "my father is my light." And a couple people I've shared this with, so I'll share it with you. My father has been with me on some very dark times in my life. All growing up, I haven't seen him as a child. I haven't seen him have fun at all. Like, he's just busting butt and providing for his family and always there for us. That's the only father I know, you know, because he's my father. I see him every day. You know, I'm always with him. You know, he'd work late nights to provide for his family. Self-sacrifice, self-sacrifice, self-sacrifice. So I thought a lot about him in this regard, in this relationship, because I don't know. He's my best role model I've ever had. He does whatever it takes to provide for my brothers, my sisters, and I. My hat's off to him. And this moment wouldn't be possible without him. Not just like we have people that are just donors, if you will, that just have children and don't care to raise them, never around. And that's not how I was raised. That's not what I learned. And in that, I'm an adult. Learning is still a part of life, no matter what. Even if you're graduated, you still learn. Every single day is a learning experience. But I digress a bit. So my wife gets induced, and oh my gosh, she's on a certain medicine. I don't really remember the name right now. Stadol, yeah, Stadol. And you know, right when she gets put on it, she's laughing, joking. We get the night nurse, who's there, and I was kind of a little bit nervous because we get to the hospital in the morning, right? And I'm jumping around in time and sequence of events, so bear with me. In the morning, when we get there, and Danielle gets all like changed in her hospital robe and hospital gown, I should say, and all the nurses, there's like probably like four or five of them in the room, looking at the computer screen and learning the system. I guess the system was new. And when they're learning the system, hi, baby. When they're learning the system, it was kind of like, whoa, do they know what they're doing, you know? They do. They're trained professionals, but I was a bit, like, nervous. And what I've noticed, there's one thing I want to say, is when he's in my wife's belly, brewing in there, and they connect the monitors to it, there is something that I've noticed is that they're statting my son, you know, like all these bars and graphs. I'm a social media manager, marketer, marketing analysis is my thing, you know, sales and numbers and all of that. So watching graphs and looking at Google's analytics, I've realized something is they're already collecting stats on Abner. They're already seeing, like, they see his consistency in the womb on how his body is behaving, his heartbeat, things of that nature, making sure it's normal. But they already, like, they basically start already documenting my little Abner, right, even before he comes out. And don't let me get started about what after he comes out. Don't get me wrong, it's not bad, but I realize, like, because I'm in that documentation space, that I was quite interested in seeing how this man is being statted already. Wow. Sorry, I'm laughing. I just looked down and he's just so adorable, sleeping in my arms, and mommy's asleep and resting. I mean, I could do this podcast and just stare at him all day. Anyway, so she gets induced, and her contractions are irregular at that point when she's getting induced with the pill, I guess. There's a pill that she takes and puts under her mouth that dissolves, starts kick-starting. Then she started getting this other, like, IV drip that was, like, pumped up every 30 minutes. So when my sister-in-law noticed that, it might be a long time, she ended up taking Liliana to her house and everything. My mom, who's a midwife, she came probably around 11 or 12 or 11, somewhere around there. And man, not to be a complainer, but it was cold in Florida. I'll tell you what, like, it was so cold. We go to get tacos to eat, and I ate outside the room because my wife, you know, she's can only eat what they call clears, so only a Jell-O and water and ice and all that stuff is the only thing she's approved for. And she, as it started getting closer, I would say around 3 o'clock, my mom comes in, checks on her, breaks her water, and it's really warm. She's explaining the experience to me, and my mom, when she broke the water, says, "Everybody out of the pool." And so he gets going, and as she does, like, they kept asking her, does she want to get the spinal medicine, the epidural, right? She's like, "No, I'm good. It's painful, but not that painful." Boy, when it started to get a bit, closer with the contractions, oh, she was like, "Where are they at?" You know, my mother-in-law and I were looking at each other, sad, because there's nothing we could do. You know, like, we're sitting there while she's in so much pain, and I take my hand behind her back in her sweet spots, I call them, and start rubbing them in little circular motions, and she's like, "Oh, it feels good because my back's hurting so much with this labor." So we're getting closer to the break of the episode, or the middle of the episode. So I am going to just tell you that, yes, everything is healthy, just so you know. I'm going to be continuing telling the story of the day that Avner was born, just to catch you up to speed on where I've been these past couple days. Not saying I neglected my podcast or anything, but I needed sleep, and I have a newborn, so I was focusing mostly on him. Even now, as we speak, I'm rocking him back and forth. He's sleepy and sleep. My wife is resting, so the minute he wakes up, she can feed him. Because he'll probably be hungry. All right. Thank you so much, guys, for listening, and I'll catch you in a little bit. All right, guys. So thanks for staying with me so far. Abner did a little sleepy, dreamy kick here while I'm holding him. So, okay, so as it started to become closer to the time, my wife has the epidural and she could feel the contractions that were like mostly like near her ribs, she said. Then as they started getting lower, it was nearing time. So, if you've been following this podcast, you know that every single baby's appointment, we would drive to Jacksonville for about 15 minutes for mom to say, okay, everything's good. See you next week. And then drive back home. But the reason we did these drives is because I really wanted my mom to deliver after her grandson. So as it became closer to, I would say, around 6:45, my mom taking a shower. Like, this is another unbeknownst to us, right? We see all the doctors and nurses start coming in and filing in. It's getting really close. You know, she's very dilated, as they say. And it's showtime. So one of the nurses who goes in and says, someone I haven't seen, said, oh, Lynn? Because I said, where's Lynn at? Where's the midwife? You know, where's my mom? Oh, Lynn, she went home. That's what she told me. Daniel goes, what? She went home? And I didn't think that was right. So, you know, as it started to come time, my mom finally comes in, like, and, you know, she's all showered out. Like, at first I call her, actually. I'm like, Mom, where are you at? She's like, oh, I'm in my room. I'm showering. And just threw on my clothes. I said, well, she's ready to go. She's like, all right, be right there. So, my mom actually was staying in the hospital, but I guess she went to the car to get her scrubs, and the nurse just saw her get in the car, but the nurse actually got in the car and drove away. I said, what? That doesn't make any sense. This is her grandson coming in the world. So, March 13th, 7:08, Abner comes. Well, before that, my mother-in-law actually had on my phone, was taking pictures of like the whole experience. And this is my first experience. I saw his little head poking through. My mom's coaching Danielle. You know, she puts on her mask, and she has Danielle said she looked really pretty because she had her, you know, her makeup done and her eyelashes on and everything. Dolled up to see Abner. The cool thing that I saw was my mom was like in command. I don't really know the exact number of years my mom has been delivering babies and how many babies she has delivered. And so, I mean, I feel like anybody that has her in the practice would be just in awe with her on the team. You know, she's just in command. Not saying like, you know, bossy or anything, but she knows she has that skill, that cool, that calm. She made me feel so safe as she's telling, okay, this nurse do this, hold her legs back further. Okay, Danielle, breathe and push really hard. And with a couple strong pushes and breathes in between, like, you know, 4 or 5 contractions or less, out comes Abner, filled with the clay substance all around his body, bluish hue, and it felt like my mom threw Abner onto my wife. Like, I just heard a when he hit my wife, hit the, I guess there was like a pad, and you put, I guess what they call it, like skin to skin, like right, the first person that Abner gets to feel his mommy. And I come around, and my mom gives me the scissors for the umbilical cord, and She's like, you're gonna cut it. It's gonna be gummy. So I cut it. I'm so excited and everything and to bring my son into the world thanks to all the help of the medical profession and modern medicine and all that. But just my wife and I are just in awe. And I was standing there looking at him, and I'm starting to tear up right now talking to you about it. But that instant connection that I had with him, Avner, just messy as can be. I say he looked so, and this isn't the teary part, but let me, I'm trying to digress so I don't like start breaking down on this podcast, but he was so strong looking. Like I jokingly say he looked like he was bench pressing in the womb. Like his chest was all pumped out, his arms with more definition than mine. He just looked so strong. He was relatively quiet coming out. I mean, he was crying a little bit, but he wailed when one of the nurses put, like, the band on him. Like, he had an attitude, like, rah! Like, he screamed at her. And then one of them put, like, the little, like, baby jack that beeps and shuts down the building if anyone takes the baby beyond a certain point without, that's not mommy or me. He cried at that and was screaming. And I was he they put him on the little weigher. I took pictures. My mother-in-law took pictures. I took some pictures. But in that moment, like, oh my gosh, I was just so in love with this little soul coming into the world. Just finds mommy, and mommy holds him, and she had a little pouty lip. And he makes, like, what's so interesting is the features and everything, the demeanors that the babies have. Like, he never seen my wife before, right? But my wife does this thing every time, like, either when she's super sad or super mad. Like, she was doing it how I know is because she was doing it the entire time she's in pain. She does what I call, like, the Muppet frown, where her little lips go down in a like a complete like N, like letter N, if you could draw that on a face, and scrunched up. This man Avner did that, and that's how you know he's about to cry, because he does Danielle's little scrunched up face, and then he'll start wailing and crying. Oh man, it's so interesting. Everyone says he looks exactly like me, and I'm like thinking to myself, well, who else is he supposed to look like? Obviously, I feel like his little lips in the very like top of his lip. He has Danielle's little cleft, and then the bottom, he has Danielle's, I would say, lips and his facial features. But I held him later on that day, like because it was 7 o'clock, so my wife's getting some rest. My mom does her thing and stitching him up and things like that, stitching her up, I should say. And I'm holding him as the sunlight like peeks through, and that's the picture I changed my profile picture of me holding him. And I was humming to him a Blink-182 song, "Bored to Death." And I just realized, you know what? Avner never heard that song before. There's so much in this world, this beautiful world, that Avner gets to be a part of. And I get to share it as his dad with him. And I can protect him from all the bad, but this is a totally life-changing experience. Like all this cool stuff that I enjoy, like even television or the love that someone has for another person, the emotions that you feel, even being mad or sad or anything, all of these things are going to be brand new to him. And me as a dad, I get to lead him in what is right and what is wrong, what are some of the good things. And he will learn by looking at me how to treat women, how to be a respectful gentleman, how to express yourself properly and maturely. And that will come with time. Even I'm still learning some of these things, and I want to learn them even faster, so that way I can teach him and show him, and he won't get a bad example. A lot of the times, kids learn from their parents, so if their parents aren't doing their job, so to speak, then when they get to the school age, it's now the school's responsibility to raise your kid. That's not accurate. That's not true. That's not fair. I just look at him, this little innocent bundle of joy. And that's why I had a personal belief, like something that had been shown to me just over and over. And this baby being born totally confirms this belief of mine, this philosophical, scientifical, and spiritual belief, right? It's believed in the world that babies are born in sin. And I totally reject that. I totally push that aside. The reason why is because you can't tell me this little baby Abner Seymour Trotter, that he came in with the negation that I see out there in the world, with all the evil and bad things that mankind does to one another. He doesn't do any of that. He doesn't do any of that. You know what he does? He cries. He poops. He pees. He drinks milks from mommy. He is just innocent. And you know why he cries? It's to reach out for the father and mother, his parent substance, his parental folks, that's all he knows. Next episode, guys, what I'm going to do is talk about his first experience meeting Liliana, because if you were listening, Liliana wasn't there to see him, unfortunately, because she left with Auntie. That is the next day that happened, and I'll kind of sum up all the days that we've been missing all in one thing, with all the family visiting and him meeting everybody for the first time. Grandma got to hold him. Grandma was there the entire time. Big shout out to Mariana Hilton. Oh my gosh. I'm happy that my mom was there, but this woman was with me with Danielle the entire time. At her beck and call, like, so to speak, like anything we needed. Not that we were demanding children to her, but the motherly instinct, the motherly love, like that's something that Danielle got from her. She's just a loving, caring, and kind soul that touched my heart when she held her grandson, and she's all about her grandson. It's just, it just makes me feel really, really great inside. But I feel like that's what we, as a human species, should really stop and pause and think. Like, we are the children of the Most High. We all are. There's no one. Yeah, there's people that claim they are the chosen people and all of that. Which, so one time, yes, that's accurate. If you read the Bible, yes. But at one time before that happened, before there were Jew or Gentile, there was just one human race, one human family. And I feel that we should cry out, forget what we've done in the past, and just cry out as a child does for its father. Whenever Abner cries out as my son, I go to him and I tend to him. And I feel that one day that'll stop. But you know what will never stop, no matter what? This moment that I've realized talking to you in this podcast, near the end of this podcast, is no matter how old Abner gets or how old I get, he'll always be my son. That's something that makes me smile, brings tears to my eyes. He will always be my son. Maybe not little. He's little now. But as I'll leave you with just this thought here. Life is precious. Fragile, short. Spend it with the ones you love, as I'm spending it now with little baby Abner. Guys, I love you. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I will catch you guys tomorrow. Hey guys, and thanks for tuning in to the Millennial Dad. I plan on continuing on with the episodes once a day. I just want to have you guys bear with me in getting up some of my social media content for these episodes, and my own personal branding and all of that, just because I do have a son now and I still have clients I'm taking care of. But their websites are becoming live, so we will continue on forward. Thank you again, and if you do want to follow me, you can follow me, Adrian Trotter, on Facebook, at Drian underscore Trotter on Twitter, at Adrianos, sorry, on Instagram. Sorry, I had a brain gap there. All right, thanks so much, guys. Catch you next time.